Good morning. Yep, it's January 11th, 2020. You are listening to All Out Law. I'm your host, Attorney Kyle Wyatt, Wyatt Law Associates and Freedom Traffic Law, located at 210 West Sunshine, Suite H, right across the street from the Bass Pro Shop in the same shopping complex as McAllister's. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, handling all your family law and traffic law needs. Oh, it's always been a busy week. It could be worse, right? You could be just not busy and not making any money and not supporting your family. Then you're going to have to file for bankruptcy, and then you're going to have to be living on the street, and it's going to be out there in the cold. Can you imagine having a 20-month-old out there in the cold in a cardboard box? You'd give me a cardboard box, though, right? I don't own a cardboard box.
You can stay here at the station.
Good. I don't think you want a mess full of children running around, especially my 4-year-old. She is she's a mess. But no, you got to think about those folks who are homeless. You know, I was driving, Wednesday or Thursday, I was driving up to Ozark, and I saw this man and woman walking along Highway 65 and pushing like two grocery carts full of just stuff, you know, property, whatever. It looks like they were just living out of it. I don't know, you just got to feel bad about that to a certain extent. Of course, I don't know how many of you have caught Tucker Carlson, who was doing a series this week on what's going on in San Francisco. Have you seen any of that? The homelessness out there in San Francisco, you know, it's the mecca of liberalism, right? You know, if you're a liberal and you believe that everything should be free and that the wealthy have too much and it should be given to folks who do nothing, that is the place to be. And it's such a great city to be in that they have a government workers whose specific job, right? This is what keeps them busy, 40 hours a week. I don't know how many shifts they have. They go out and clean up human fecal matter on the sidewalks, on the streets, in front of businesses, and then go around and pick up needles. Because, you know, they hand out free needles to its citizens. And why not? I mean, you don't want to spread HIV, AIDS, hepatitis when you're doing drugs. So the good people there in San Francisco will help you in providing free needles. They also provide stations where you can dispose of your needles, you know, after you got them for free. You didn't have to pay a nickel for them, and you can dispose of them so they could be safely thrown away, recycled, whatever. But however, these folks who take advantage of that sweet program just leave it on the street. So anyone who's walking by gets stabbed by a needle. It's just absolutely disgusting. And then you would think that, well, that should be against the law. That should be absolutely against the law to take a crap on the sidewalk. But guess what? It's not. It's not. You'll get a warning. It's amazing the immorality that goes on in that town. They had a police officer being interviewed, and so they were just kind of going over some crimes. What if somebody came and stole a purse, right? You're walking down the street and stole a purse, and then the officer goes, "Well, was it violent? If it wasn't violent, they just snatched it. Then it's probably a citation. Did they prostitution? Don't care. Don't care." Shooting up heroin right there in front of anybody. Don't care. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing what you can get away with. So if you have a hankering to break some laws and get away with it, it sounds like San Francisco would be a great destination for you and your family to visit and partake in some of the sights and scenery and you have to go outside. We got Rufus from Republic on line one. Rufus, how you doing this morning?
Hey, just fine. That's that little hand keeps clapping all the time.
There you go.
It's
say, I got two topics here. First one is a solution to that homeless crisis there in the Gay Bay.
Yeah.
What you do is they get out in the middle of Needles Desert. They're about, 75 mile northwest of Blythe, California, and dig a well. Dig down until you get plenty of water coming up, and then set up a perimeter around it there with a bunch of tents and stuff on it, and move them homeless people out there where they got to put up with each other instead of the rest of us putting up with them, see?
Right.
And let them live out there. I mean, you can house thousands of people out there. There's nowhere for them to go. They break out of the compound. They're going to die before they get anywhere. They got to stay where the water's at. In the next one there, if these prosecutors they've been hiring, decriminalizing shoplifting and stealing and mugging and everything they want to decriminalize, you know what that's going to cause, don't you?
What's that?
Cause the vigilantes to come back up like it did in the 1800s.
Right.
They better be watching what they wish for, you know, because people not gonna put up with it.
No, I appreciate it, Rufus. You know, that's the thing is, if you look at population in California, they're losing people, maybe not as fast as illegals are coming in, but they are losing American citizens who may have been born and raised there because the cost of living is too much. Their taxes are too high, and they're being used for ridiculous purposes that most sane individuals just would not agree with. Your tax dollars going to do sexual reassignment of inmates just because, I mean, it's just absolutely asinine. And so folks are moving. They're moving out to Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Florida, especially states that don't have state income tax. But then the problem that we're finding is these same folks who are moving because it's too expensive and it's just sometimes too dangerous. Look what's going on in Seattle, Washington, with the homelessness and the crime rate that is happening there. It's just not safe. They got folks camping out near residential areas, these homeless people, and Seattle is just refusing to do anything about it. But these same folks who complain and want to get out to greener pastures then bring their politics with them. And they want to vote in the same morons or the same type of morons that they had in their state for which they fled, and want to put those same type of idiots into power in their new state or locales. So insanity is always going to be there for us, folks. But we got to take our first break of the hour. If you got any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call here in the studio at 447-5743. That's 447-5743. All right, welcome back. You are listening to AOL. Oh, Sarah sent this to me. It's breaking news, actually.
Not really, but...
Breaking. No, it's breaking.
Breaking.
Yes. Wellness queen Marianne Williamson has officially dropped out of the 2020 Democratic race. I didn't know she was still in it.
I think there's like 11 left now.
You talk about a I don't even know what you would call her. Oprah loved her. Oprah loved having her on her show. The gal was a complete nut job. Just an absolute nut job. But I guess Michael Bloomberg kicked her out, right? That was her stiff competition there, former mayor of New York City. You know, the Iowa caucuses are coming up here in just a few short weeks. Things are going to be starting heating up. Yeah, we're going to have a little bit more things to talk about. I miss the 16 primaries. I do. I miss when Trump was running, he had all these 20 opponents, something like that. And then he had little nicknames for all of them, right? Low Energy Jeb Bush. My favorite is Lion Ted.
That one was my favorite, too.
Lionton. Little Marco. I do. I miss it. Yeah, yeah, there's no one, you know, there's just no one to go up against for the next 8 months. And so we won't know who the Democrat nominee is going to be for some time. And I have a feeling, I have a distinct feeling, that it is going to be one of these crazy primaries where it may go down to the second vote in the Democrat National Convention. Back then, it'll be when the superdelegates will be able to decide who the nominee is. You're going to talk about all-out war in the Democrat Party. I can see a scenario where Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden are neck and neck, and then the superdelegates decide to go a different direction. So who knows? I guess stay tuned. But another interesting story, and I just find it funny because, you know, when you listen to the Democrat nominees, right, the running for president, and they talk about, well, what's the most pressing issue facing our world, our society, and every one of them, global warming, right? Global warming is fastly approaching us. It's going to kill all of us. Hell, what was that? Greta girl from Sweden, wherever, becoming Times Person of the Year because she said a few words there at the UN. But a very interesting story because, again, these little chicken littles all over the Democrat Party telling us how the sky is falling. How many of you have seen a story of what's going on there at Glacial National Park in Montana? A decade ago, or a little over a decade ago, they had these signs on these glaciers stating that in 2020, these glaciers are going to be gone unless we do something to combat global warming. It probably would have been called global warming 10 years ago. We didn't switch to climate change until the last few years because we realized that global warming is a farce, right? It's not real. And so when Al Gore was proved an idiot, they changed it from global warming to climate change. And so anyway, these signs predicted that these glaciers are going to be gone in 2020. Well, here we are in 2020, and so now these signs are mysteriously gone. Somebody had taken them up. The propaganda didn't work. And so and so these news networks still, they're in here in CNN, still pushing, though, that climate change is real, even though, whoa, we're just not right. And so the USGS told the park back in 3 years ago, 2017, that it was no longer expecting that the glaciers were to disappear by the new decade due to changes in the forecast model. But they weren't removed until now because tight maintenance budgets prevented the removal, whatever. The long short of it is these climate change activists just can't admit it. They just can't admit when they're wrong. They can't admit that, and I don't even know why they got into this kick. For the life of me, you know, we've been living with these doomsayers for decades. I mean, over 40 years. I remember during the Carter administration in the late 70s, you know, they were talking about global freezing, right? That was a concern, you know, that we're going to enter into a new ice age unless we did something drastic. Right. Well, of course, we didn't do anything drastic and ice age did not happen. And then in the 80s, we talked about the ozone. Remember the hairnet, hairsprays, Aquanet. That's what it did. Aquanet. You know, it's killing the planet, killing the ozones. And so all the girls with the big bangs had to use something else because these aerosol cans were going to destroy the ozone. Here we are 30 years later. I'm not hearing a damn word about ozones. And so then after Al Gore lost the 2000 election to be president, he went out and tried to figure out ways to make money. All right. Any politician, you got to make money. You can't be poor. And so he started his little deal of Inconvenient Truth documentary, which hey, did get him some acclaims here. He won the Oscar, right? Problem with his documentary, it was based on false evidence, right? Misleading studies, outright lies on the hockey stick model. If we didn't take radical changes, global warming was going to happen. The oceans were going to boil, and the coastlines of Florida and all the Hawaii islands, it all disappear. All right. Now, believe this, folks. This has been 20 years ago. 20 years ago, these fears about global warming. And so now they're on this whole kick about climate change now. Because they can't get it right. They can't. Well, the world's not getting too cold. The world's getting too hot. I mean, they just don't know. And I was watching the president 2 days ago. He was doing a press conference. And that was one of the questions. Mr. President, do you believe in climate change? And they just won't let it go. They just won't let it go. And Trump is right. He goes, sure, I believe the climate's changing. Right? But I'm not going to sacrifice jobs in this myth that somehow man is making it or somehow man can stop it. You know, there's a difference between, hey, well, let's not put pollutants in the air. Right. There's a difference between that. There's a difference between let's don't put pollutants in our water. All right. I don't think there's a man, woman, child alive who would believe that. No, we should have the air less clean. We need to have our waters less safe to drink. You're not going to find that. All right. The media and the left wants to paint the conservatives as anti-environment, but the opposite is true. If you think of it, most conservatives are very pro-environment, pro-conservation. You ask any avid fisher out there, right, how important it is to keep our waterways clean, right? They don't want to feed their family fish full of mercury or something that's unsafe for their children. You're not going to find any hunters out there who's all about this. Let's just see how many pieces of trash we can throw out here in the woods, and let's just start fires, right? You're not going to find that. And so conservatives are absolutely pro-environment, all right? But we're not going to do the cockamamie ideas that Obama was pushing, like signing into this Paris peace accord, where it was going to put America at a huge disadvantage with these other countries. You know, we could spend hours talking about how ridiculous such an idea is that they want the United States to somehow drastically change the way we produce things. Meanwhile, the largest of all the air polluters and water polluters in the world, like in China and India, you don't have to. I want you to just do your best. Just try, okay? And so you want the United States to compete in the world market with one hand tied behind our back, and it just wasn't fair. And so Trump called him out on it and said, I'm not going to do that. And so anyway, I just thought it was an interesting story that, not getting a whole lot of publicity, but it's just humorous. You had these vacationers who would go out, right, take their families to go see Glacier Park, right? And you got little Johnny and little Joni, and then you're walking out there, and they see these beautiful glaciers, and they see these signs of omen saying, like this glacier now, because it's going to be gone in 2020. And that scares little Johnny and little Joni, and then, well, Daddy, I don't want to do that. What are we going to do? Well, we gotta vote for Obama. We gotta do things. We can't let this happen. But 2020 comes, glaciers are still there, actually growing. And it just defeats everything that they're trying to hang on to. But, hey, we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our next break. If you got any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call here in studio at 447-5743. That's 447-5743. All right, we're back. We are back. And we got Liberal Ron on line one. Ron, how you doing this very cold morning? Very cold. Very cold. Not hot at all.
No, it's not hot, Kyle.
No.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfect, bud.
Okay. Because I can't seem to... My phone, ever since I got this phone...
Did you get a new phone?
Oh, I've had it a while, but it seems like people can't hear me on it. So
oh, yeah?
I don't know if it's right or not.
All right. Well, what do you got for us, man? What did you think of that? Did you think that the story was humorous? How they had these predictions that the Glacier Park was going to be gone by 2020 and still there?
I think years ago, if you look at old photographs, it used to have glaciers in Glacier Park, and now they're gone.
Well, they said there a lot of them are coming back. Same thing with Greenland.
No.
Greenland. They're saying, oh, those glaciers are going away, and NASA did a study on it, and Greenland's glaciers have gotten even larger this year.
Kyle, the glaciers are melting at a rapid rate, and Greenland's melting.
Yeah, I've heard that now for how long now?
Well, I mean, it's been going on for how long? Kyle, why do you deny science?
I don't deny science. I think science backs up what I'm saying.
What do you mean? I mean, the polar caps are melting, the sea's rising.
Ron, how many predictions have your so-called scientists have made that's happened over the last 40 years, and not a one of them has even come close to being accurate? Not a one. I mean, Al Gore 20 years ago said that if we don't have drastic change by 2020, terrible things was going to happen to this planet.
And it's happening right now.
Oh.
As we speak.
Give me one example.
Kyle, Australia is on fire.
Yeah. And how did the fire start?
I don't know.
Man-made. Man-made. Wasn't because of global warming. Wasn't because of climate change. There's nothing happened to the climate that caused the fires. You know, it is summertime in Australia now, right? See, and they're in the southern part of the hemisphere. And so when it's winter here, it's summer there. So it's really dry.
You say Republicans care about the environment, but
they
don't.
They do.
Trump is busy deregulating all the environmental regulations for the oil companies, given...
Well, you should be very thankful for that, Ron, that Trump has deregulated a lot of the rules that has helped the United States become energy independent.
It doesn't matter. You're putting economic...
The well-being of our citizens ahead? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How would you like to be dependent upon the Middle East for your oil and gas? Do you trust them?
Oil.
I mean, look what happened to Jimmy Carter. You had long lines of folks trying to wait to get gas. You remember that time there, Ron? Remember those long lines of gas shortages?
It doesn't matter. None of that matters.
None of that matters. No. As long as we can save a couple frogs and some birds.
It's not frog-style. It's life on Earth.
I know you believe that, Ron. I know you do. I mean, I know that you are sincere about this. This isn't just some kind of joke to you. But I believe you've just been misled.
You think you can pump all these tons and tons of gas into the air every day, every second, every hour, and it's not going to affect the atmosphere? There's such a thing as cause and effect, Kyle.
Yeah, but the planet is a very wonderful creation because it has a way of healing itself, even from man. Think about this. You're worried about carbon dioxide, right? Well, that's the exact thing that our plants and trees breathe with, right? They need carbon dioxide.
You've changed it. It's too much.
Too much.
You've upset the balance of nature.
Oh, here we go. CNN. You trust CNN, the trusted name in news. 24 people, brother. 24 people have been arrested for setting fires there in Australia. 24.
So what? They were able to do it because it's just like a tinderbox over there.
Yeah, it's summertime. Brother, I would tell you what. Do not come to my backyard in the summer and set a fire. I bet my stuff will catch a blaze.
The fires are apocalyptic. Is that what I'm saying? Right, and probably not.
You're doing all right. You're doing all right. Brother, when you haven't had rain, things get dry, right? That's a perfect environment for fire. We have fires that go on in Colorado, California. I mean, how many times? And you know what? Wildfires are actually really good for the environment.
Kyle, I hate to do this to you.
What?
I don't have to call flat earther.
You're a flat earther?
You are.
I.
Deluded.
Oh my God! I am. No, this mythological belief that you have that somehow that the world is fixing to end because of man is just insane.
Maybe in your great grandchildren.
Oh, now we're moving that far, man. I thought it was imminent. You know, your one of your favorite politicians, AOC. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says it's going to be happening here in the next, what, 5-7 years? Right? That's not about my great-grandchildren. That's me. I don't even know them. Let them deal with it.
All around right now. You're seeing it all around you.
Right. I appreciate it, buddy. Get outside. Enjoy the cold. Makes you feel like, you know, the world ain't so bad right now. All right? Glaciers are doing just fine today. Probably doing really well. Well, did we get a text? I remember the drought of 1957 in Texas as a kid. No one called it climate warming. Folks knew it was a normal... that's right, from Shellknob. Tim from Shellknob. You can blame anything. You can. How about just look at yesterday? Yesterday was in the 60s. Right, we're in January. January 10th yesterday, right? We're in the 60s, which is odd for January. So that's global warming, right? And then we had storms, tornadoes, which are unheard of in January. So that's climate change. And then all of a sudden now it is cold, bitterly cold outside. Ice gathering around. I couldn't even get through the private gate here at the studios because the buttons were all frozen. That's global cooling. I mean, you could just look out the window and blame nature for everything if you wanted to, if you were so inclined. But the problem is, I mean, the world, this is what the world is. You know, and the one thing that the folks on the left can never explain, is how in the hell did we have an ice age that covered most of the North America continent? All of Europe? Most of Asia? We didn't have industries back then. We didn't have factories back then. We didn't have coal mines back then. Did we? We didn't have any of that. And yet, the whole world went into a deep freeze. Now imagine if Ron and Al Gore and Bernie Sanders and just all the kooks on the left that are running for president. Imagine if they were alive back then. 5,000 years ago, whenever it was. Hunting woolly mammoths. And they start running for office to be a great chief of their clan. And say, we need to make change now. We make too much fire. We change the environment. We're too cold. It's just ridiculous. It's asinine. It's a world. Mary, Springfield, line one. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm doing pretty good, except I get tired of listening to some of these dumb, stupid, ignorant people. They give all the Republicans all the credit for having all the power to be able to change climate and heal the world's problems, and yet we're so damn stupid that we can't do anything.
We just buy some carbon credit, Mary. If you really want to help our planet, go buy carbon credit from Al Gore. Oh, hey, Battlefield Bob. Bob, how you doing?
Well, I'm very blessed. These aren't the best in the world, but, you know, I'm up and about and very thankful today. You know, I have had to learn the hard way. I'm going to quit calling Democrats. I'm going to quit calling them names. That is definitely happening so far. But every time they say something that's antichrist, ungodly, or it's pro-sodomites or pro-baby butchery, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to start sharing scriptures with them. You know, just let the word, because he says his word shall not return unto him void. By the way, Ron, did you not get it when the book says, in the beginning, God, and that he's the word, same yesterday, today, and forever. This earth is controlled by him and the weather and the stuff. We'll have some ice ages and, you know, some stuff like that. He's kind of in control. Kyle, thank you so very much for standing up and doing the fine job you're trying to help families in the Ozarks with. You're a godsend to many people, sir.
I appreciate it, Bob. Really do. We got to take our last break of the hour. If you got any last minute questions or comments, feel free to give us a call here in studio at 447-5743. That's 447-5743. Go and try. All right, we're back. You are listening to AOL. You know, I was in law school, and there was a case about words you can say on the radio.
Don't you dare.
And, well, it was a famous case. I mean, we had to read it, and it was something about the seven dirty words. I have yet to say any of those, mind you. All right.
You would have been kicked off the air.
That's right.
I don't put up with that.
I don't. Why? I'd hope not. Yeah, I would think of the FCC versus Pacifica Foundation. John Douglas, an active member of Morality and Media. Now, this is an older case, mind you. I believe 1978, claimed that he heard the WBAI broadcast while driving with his then 15-year-old son and complained to the FCC that the material was inappropriate for the time of day, approximately around 2 p.m. Following the lodging of a complaint, the FCC proceeded to ask Pacifica for a response and then issued a declaratory order upholding the complaint. But anyway, the WBAI, the radio station, appealed against this decision, which was overturned by the U.S. Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia on the grounds that the FCC's definition of indecency was overbroad and vague and thus violated the First Amendment's guarantee of free speech. The FCC then, in turn, appealed to the Supreme Court, and that's how we learn cases in law school. It's usually all Supreme Court cases. Well, in 1978, the Supreme Court came down with a split decision, 5-4, ruled that the FCC's declaratory ruling did not violate either the First or Fifth Amendments, but in so ruling, it limited the scope of its ruling to the specific broadcast that gave rise to that ruling, declined to consider whether the FCC's definition of indecency would survive a First Amendment challenge. So anyway, it's just a little interesting read. You can go online and read the facts of the case. But I believe it. I think they were airing something from George Carlin, comedian. But anyway, I do not say dirty words. People accuse me. But here's something though that has been coming up here of late. You know, January. I was watching on the news. I don't know if you caught that. They say January is divorce month. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? That makes sense after the holidays.
Yeah, after the holidays.
New year, new start, I guess.
Divorces are on the rise. More people call into the office. I'm done with that SOB. I don't want to. Yeah, see, pretty close here. I don't want to deal with them anymore. All sorts of stuff. And that may be true, you know, to a certain extent. I really think it's tax time. That's when people really get divorced. get that refund check from Uncle Sam and flop that down on the lawyer's desk. Say, get rid of this guy. End this pain for me. But the point of all that is that when you are going through a separation like that, whether or not you're married or not, I don't care. If children are involved, you know, the worst thing you can do for your case the absolute worst thing you can do. You know, I call it parental suicide. Parental suicide is when you try to keep the kids away from the other parent, and you don't have a basis for it as far as the safety. I mean, authentic safety concerns. You know, if you got an ex who is actively using illegal drugs, and I'm not just talking about pot. Here lately, judges don't get their panties in a wad over pot. But if they're, you know, doing methamphetamine, right, heroin, fentanyl, whatever, we just lose your mind. Or, you know, if they're not being violent in some way, you know, or you had to get law enforcement involved, you know, they're shooting a gun at you, coming at you with a knife, doing whatever, you know, just something violent, right? I mean, for the most part, I mean, I don't know, 99% of my cases doesn't really deal with any of those horrible, horrible facts. You got to be careful. You know, yes, I don't like who they're dating now. All right. Well, the person they're dating is still married. So are you. So is she. Courts don't get into concerns about morality. They don't. They really don't. If your ex, significant other, is just sleeping with as many people as they can find, so what? So long as the children are not being involved. Right? If it's happening on their own time, the courts just do not care. They just don't. You know, I've even seen you know, those really weird cases where you got, like, folks who join, like, a swingers group or... what's that one? It's a thing that's coming around. I don't know, some kind of furry sex deal where they dress up as mascots or something. You ever heard of that? Yeah, crazy stuff. But even those folks aren't being denied their kids. And so, and then the worst argument of all, the absolute worst argument of it all. Well, I'm keeping the kids because I'm concerned that they won't give them back to me. Well, what the hell are you doing? Well, I'm just assuring that I can see what you're... But you're doing the exact thing that you're worried about the other party going to do. And here's the deal. Let's say your forecast is correct. All right? Let's say that. You allow the visitation and you're supposed to get them back on Sunday or whatever, and they don't bring them back. That's a win for me. I mean, it sucks for you right now. But that helps your case. That absolutely helps your case. You know, we talk about it all the time. What does a judge have to look at in determining custody? And they have to look at 8 factors. 8 factors under Missouri law of what a judge has to look at. And one of them, maybe the most important, is the one that gets the most attention, is which parent is more likely than the other to allow meaningful contact. Don't be the jerk that has kept the kids. Just because. Well, I'm concerned. Like, you could have concerns. Hell, I could sit here all day and conjure up concerns. But that's not going to get you anywhere. Concerns. I hate that question. I was in trial the other day, a couple days ago, asking a DFS worker, the other side was asking a DFS, well, do you have concerns that the father could be doing it? Well, yeah, I have concerns. What? Do you have any evidence that he has done it? Shove your concerns. I could care less. Concerns. Ridiculous. Give me evidence. That's what a judge wants. Give me some facts of how this person has done X, Y, and Z. I'm going to sit here and give me concerns. So if you want to lose custody of your kid, I know you don't, but if you don't listen to your lawyer, and they say, by God, let the other parent have time with their kid. You know what the judge is going to do? He's going to see if that parent will allow you time. He's gonna want to know, well, let's see if that parent will follow my orders, will follow what's in the best interest of the child. You know, and some folks can't get it right. I've been in cases where it's been modified a handful of times, and you got one parent who's just being a jerk or doing whatever, and so the court takes the kid away from the other, you know, from that parent, gets to the other parent, and then the other parent thinks, well, they're hot stuff now, and they're doing the same darn thing that they were complaining to the other parent was doing. So the court goes, I'll take the kid away from you. And the judge said, if I have to do it one more time, I'm not going to give them to either of you. I'm going to refer this case to juvenile and let someone else raise your kid. So be smart. If you're going through a separation, I don't care if it's a mom or a dad, because I can tell you what, both sides do it. Both sides do. A judge is not going to tolerate one parent keeping the kids away from the other parent. Period. Period. If you can't provide evidence that they're going to be a clear and present danger, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. All right, that is our show for the week. I always enjoy being with you. That's the one thing I look forward to on a Saturday morning, is being with all of you guys. I get to spend the morning with you. But we are going to end this show, and we will see you next Saturday at 9 a.m. Take care.